Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about what are hindrances to achieving and resting in our purpose now, in what is interfering with our being able to accomplish our purpose now. And we've already spent some time distinguishing between success for Christians and success for the world, and the difference even between success and purpose. Just as a quick reminder, your purpose is not going to be related to a project. It's the other way around. The projects God assigns you are designed to help you achieve your purpose. Your purpose is to learn to become an overcomer here on this earth, through depending on God, not through your own strength, not through your own knowledge or understanding, but through dependence on Him. To gain that dependence, there are three main areas that we work on. That's overcoming the flesh, and that we learning to identify it and then allow the Lord to remove it, getting our wounds healed, and learning to know Him, developing that intimate relationship. By looking at those three areas, we learn to depend on God. And in depending on Him, because He is an overcomer, we are overcomers. And that's what we're here on this particular earth for. This time is to learn how to rule and reign as sons of God. So through that process, we certainly realize quite quickly that it's just not a done deal. We don't just believe it and then it happens. It's something we have to work out. We have received salvation. We are now working it out from our spirit to our soul to our bodies. And last week, well, for a couple of weeks, we were talking about how our flesh hinders our purpose now. And we have three enemies in this world: the world, the flesh, and our flesh, and the devil. And we've talked about, and we're going to get into great detail on all of these, but what we want to begin to understand is how, even though they're all intertwined, and to some degree, because they're new, it seems complex. But when we stand back and look at it, it's actually quite simple. What God is leading us through is actually quite simple, because the goal is dependence. You're not going to be tested on what you've learned. You're going to be tested on who you're depending on. If you're depending on others, if you're depending on your own strength, understanding, or knowledge, or if you're depending on God. God Himself. He is a personal God. He's real. He's alive. And He's quite capable and desirous of revealing Himself to you in a very personal way, and drawing you and teaching you and guiding you and healing you and freeing you. So it's all about one-on-one between you and God, between me and God. So we've been talking about what hinders our purpose. Well, again, we have the three enemies: the world, our flesh, and the devil. one of the reasons we are so often hesitant to even consider other viewpoints, other belief systems, other, you know, other doctrines than what we are familiar with or have been taught is because we are afraid of deception. So why we're going through a lot of these things is to establish that there is these interferences are not keeping God from us. They are keeping us from God. When he wants to reveal himself to us in an area, there is nothing that can stop him. Period. There's nothing that can stop him. So then why doesn't he just remove all the enemies? And so we can just hang around with him. Because he wants us to learn to overcome. And again, we depend on him for that overcoming. And what marks a dependent Christian, or what I say is a Christian in a personal relationship with God, is a sense of gratitude. That experience and understanding that alone, on our own, there's absolutely nothing we can do to achieve or accomplish anything. We do not grow spiritually. We do not gain wisdom spiritually. That all these changes, the growth, is actually a process of becoming free from these hindrances in our soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Now, back and forth, your body is affected as well. But for right now, let's just focus on the effects on our soul. We are both vulnerable to our enemies and learning tactics to identify and resist our enemies. So even as we become invulnerable to our enemies, that doesn't mean they will stop attacking us. But it becomes a normal part of our lives where a lot of times we think, you know, this just seems like it's never ending. Well, in a sense, that's true. The enemy's not going to go away just because you vanquished him. Just as Jesus, just because he vanquished him, doesn't mean that he wasn't followed around and annoyed by the devil. It just means that the effort it takes to recognize him and repel him becomes a normal part of our lives. You know, when we get our hands dirty, we wash them. We don't think, you know, we're out digging in the garden. We don't think anything. We don't, oh, you know, I'm dirty. My hands are dirty. Oh, my, you know, that's, we don't not do something because we get our hands dirty. We don't not do something because there's risk involved. We now know how to go to God to get healed, to have those beliefs changed. We know how to go to him for everything. So as we move forward, we're free to make mistakes. And there are times when there will be no good choices. And God wants us to embrace those possibilities. You know, so many of us are stuck on being right. The only thing, we have this idea that the only thing that pleases God is when we do the right thing. And so in every situation, we just want to do the right thing. Well, there's going to be times when either both things are, from our perception, the right thing, or neither options available are what we would perceive as the right thing. And so over time, we are going to change our evaluation from what is the right thing to what is the dependent thing. What is God telling you to do? Now, this puts the responsibility for your relationship with God right back in your lap, where it belongs. He will put other resources in your way. He will make them available to you, but that's all they are. And even those we are to ask, Lord, is this something for me at this time? And so we gladly make ourselves open to other points of view, other doctrines, other beliefs, other systems. There's nothing to fear from any of them. We are respectful, but we don't fear them. What's another example of that? One of the ways I like to approach an understanding of our enemy, the devil, is we have this tendency to think he's as powerful as God. Okay, that's just not true. He's a created being. He was created for a purpose. All his little buddies were created for a purpose. And they are, there's a range of their kind of being, just as there are in other areas of the supernatural. But let's use an analogy we can all understand in the natural realm, which is bacteria, germs. We are all in contact with germs all the time. When you breathe in, when you are touching something, when you're inside your body, there are germs all over the place. They're a part of our physical world, and they're living. Germs are living. They are biological entities. Now, some germs are more dangerous to us than others. When you go out, and again, going back to the gardening, hopefully, you know, odds are you will have come into contact with some germs. But what you do is you either wear gloves, and even if you do, you come in after you're done and you wash your hands. And you don't think anything of it. Now we'll go into how we are wounded, how when we have a wound, that wound can, and we come into contact with germs, that wound can become infected. And we'll deal with that and how that parallel works with germs and with demonics. That when we're vulnerable, that's where we can be attacked, and how to prevent that and overcome it. But for right now, just be thinking of the concept that there are some germs that are, you know, if they get on us or in us, they may cause, you know, a cold, or usually nothing, because our body system is so able to take care of it. But then there are some that are deadly to us. You know, think of the plague, like Ebola. And those, when we come in contact with, we don't have defenses for. Those are all, so there's a range of germs. Now, we don't think of them, we aren't running around thinking about, oh, there's some Ebola. Oh, there's an Ebola. You know, we can't go to that state because there might be some Ebola. We can't go outside because there might be some Ebola. No, we live our lives, and we deal with those germs we come in contact with, and we learn how to prevent contact from big germs. You know, when everybody in your office is sick, hopefully they stay home and not spread the germs around the office. Otherwise, everybody ends up being sick. But you've incorporated that into your life. So it's not a big deal. It can be annoying, But you understand it, you know it, you know how to cope with it. In other words, you accommodate it, and you don't take it personal. Are you a bad person if you get sick? If you've come into contact with germs that can overwhelm your system? No. You're just vulnerable in that area. Have you been deceived if you get a cold, if you get sick, even if you get attacked by Ebola? No. It's just you've been overwhelmed. Your immune system was overwhelmed by Ebola. So we learn to, and that's all these demonics are. They're living beings. There's a range of them, but we can learn how to deal with the different kinds. And they're there whether we believe in them or not, whether we perceive them or not. I mean, how many of you carry your microscope around with you to see where the germs are? Now, some are fastidious in you taking the wipes with them and cleaning everything before they touch it. But and we won't get into the practicality and the actual helpfulness of that. But they're still doing it because there's an assumption there that there are germs and bacteria there, not an actual knowledge. You and I can learn to develop actual knowledge and recognize when we're heading into a trouble situation or if we are vulnerable to a trouble situation and how to deal with it. But we're going to learn how not to take it personal. Our goal is to overcome and prevent any misunderstandings or draw incorrect conclusions about ourselves or about how God, his attitude toward us. So how does this enemy, the devil, and his buddies, how do they hinder our purpose? Well, we are vulnerable to his attacks where we have unhealed wounds and are therefore walking after the flesh in that particular area. Okay, this is real important. This is one of the reasons we want to make sure we get healed. In an area where you're believing a lie, that's an area where you are vulnerable to an attack of your enemies. That's where the world can manipulate you, where your flesh can develop and hinder you, and where the enemy can attack you. So where we believe a lie, the enemy, in this case, the enemy we're talking about now is the devil, Satan and his buddies, critters, this is the way I like to call them, the enemy, his critters, has a legal right to interfere in our lives. Okay? Doesn't matter how many people come over and pray for you. If you've got one of these critters hanging around because you're vulnerable, because you're believing a lie, you're going to be in combat, in attack mode, in defensive mode with that critter until that wound is healed, until that lie is exposed and God's truth is revealed. God knows what he's doing, and what we will find out is that we can use these areas of attack to help find these wounds. So what he means for bad, for evil, to annoy us, we can use for our own benefit. And it will go through step by step down the road how to do this, how to use the very attacks of Satan to bring us into greater relationship with God. And this is something we all have to remember, is that we're all experiencing this all the time. So this is not something, okay, if I can just get through this, then I'll never have to deal with it again. This is part of your life here on this earth. It's not who you are. You are a spirit being. You have authority over these critters. Boom, just like that. Accept where you're vulnerable, and you are vulnerable where you're believing a lie which has caused a wound. So overcoming this enemy does not mean you will stop being vulnerable to temptation. Being tempted does not mean anything. Remember, Jesus himself was in all ways tempted, as we are. It's when we ascribe meaning to that temptation that we enter deception. And in many ways, temptation is just doing things our way. When we put our own hand to the work without depending on God. Even after Jesus persevered through the 40 days of fasting and temptation in the wilderness, even after Jesus triumphed over Satan and all his buddies, did Satan just give up? Okay, I'm done here. I'll never get him. Hardly. This is what these critters do. This is what they were created for. If you've got any pets, say you've got a cat or a dog, your dog probably in some way, shape, or form barks. And your cat probably in some way, shape, or form purrs and meows. They do that because that's their identity. That's who they are. Well, these critters, Satan and his buddies, this is what they do. It's nothing personal. They're looking out, okay, where can I attach? I'm hungry. Who's vulnerable? Where I can get into feed on those wounds? So it's not like, oh, okay, we're going to attack this person. Okay. There, we'll look at some of the ways we give Satan and his critters far too much credit. His mission is to destroy, but that mission has already been destroyed. But his mission is not from thought. It's from his nature. He was created as a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. And again, we'll go through identifying his involvement and looking for those characteristics of his nature. And as we do that, we will overcome any concerns or fears of being vulnerable to him. But the same thing that happened to Jesus will happen to us. Just because we recognize these things and overcome him, that doesn't mean that Satan's just going to give up. In the spiritual realm, Satan and his buddies have no influence or position in our lives or in this earth. But it's in the supernatural realm, the soulical realm, they continue to fulfill God's purpose in our lives by provoking our flesh and showing us where we have wounds so they can be healed. So God does us a favor by leaving our enemies in our path, because those enemies show us where we have an unhealed wound, where we're not completely receiving everything God has for us in a particular area. So his involvement in our lives gives us an opportunity to learn to rule and reign in this lifetime, here on this earth, spiritually, soulically, and naturally. And we're learning to rule and reign over the already conquered one. Satan has already been conquered. And he's not in his death throes or whatever. This is who he is. So again, don't take it personal. The lion who seeks to devour our soul is only released from his cage so that we can learn how to battle him. So then how does the enemy hinder our purpose now? If he's only released and running around because God says this is what I need him to be doing, how does he really hinder us? The enemy comes at us from two perspectives. Either he will draw attention to himself and his purposes, distracting us from the real issue, which is God dealing with us to bring us healing, or he draws attention away from himself to keep from being exposed and dealt with according to God's will in that situation. So he's either drawing us to be over-attentive or inattentive. But he can, either way, he can be overcome in God's timing and according to his purposes for our lives. So the enemy hinders us from our dependence on God only when we let him distract us or if we ignore him and let him set up camp. Again, this is not to say that Satan and his pals don't have power. They surely do. But the source of that power, to deceive and destroy, can be easily quenched by going to the root of his involvement in our lives and dealing with that. When we have that lie exposed, which makes us vulnerable, and we receive healing in that area, the enemy's claim, his legal right to be involved in your life, is broken. And with a word from the Lord, from you, he must flee. Again, doesn't mean he's not going to try to come back. He surely will. And we learn how to be aware. It's like when we were talking about our flesh patterns. And we've learned to live with wounds for so long that they're like little buttons. And that our enemies come along and push those buttons. Well, the devil's going to come along and push those buttons too. And they may no longer work. They've been disconnected. But he's still going to come along and try. He's not going to disappear. It's just you're no longer vulnerable. So we want to learn by experience and allow the Lord to reveal to us where we are believing lies and where we have a wound that needs to be healed. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again tomorrow morning, 7:30. We'll see you then, and have a great Monday.